On 11.16 SEN, the ultimate rap with Tony Shebeki. Hey.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It is the ultimate rap here on 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, where we'll have a look at everything that's happened in the world of sport in the last 24 hours or so, and even longer. And there's so much to talk about, and I'll do it today with my old mate who's sitting across from me. He's had a couple of weeks up north, sunning it up in Noosa. George Denikin, good morning.
Good morning. And listen, if you're in Melbourne today and you're thinking about getting out of bed, don't. But if you do get out,
stay under the doona.
Here's the plus. It's super still and it's super sunny.
Yeah, it is.
Which means it's nigh on a beautiful, brisk winter's morning.
Yes.
It can't get any better. So, well done. And don't look at the temperature gauge. Then you won't know how bloody cold it is.
No, very true. Don't listen to me. It's not 3 degrees.
And g'day, mate. And while I was away, many happy returns for your 21st birthday.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful.
Plus an extra 29 on top of that. We've got lots to talk about this morning, mate. We've got the AFL. Some great games so far over the weekend, especially last night.
You are still levitating over the fact that your boys, the mighty Richmond, yeah?
Yeah.
Won the arm wrestle at the Adelaide Oval.
And it was an arm wrestle too. We'll talk to Brett Anderson about that.
You wouldn't have been able to do that a year or so ago.
No,
you're
very true. Very true. Brett Phillips will talk about Wimbledon coming up over the next couple of weeks.
VA's coming, is he? Is he going to join us?
Yes, he is. Brett Phillips also talking
tennis. He gets a bit gun-shy Sunday mornings.
You reckon?
Yeah. Can't get a word out of him.
Cricket. How interesting is that?
Oh, listen. They can't get a word out of anybody at cricket. We're going to go back to the days when Sir Donald Bradman ran the game and the players, you know, divvied up a few bucks here and there, and they used to have sporting dinners and luncheons just to make the numbers up.
George Sonicki could be opening for Australia at the Boxing Day.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. I would have, in my fantasies.
And Peter Maniatis also, because we've got a big boxing
Peter
match.
Peter knows his way around.
He does too. But let's kick it off talking footy.
Why don't you do that? Have you got BA there?
Yeah, he's right on the line.
BA.
Brent Anderson, good morning.
Hey, boys. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, Shebester. I know you like your New York Mets, but it's a big day for Bobby Bonilla. $1.2 million he gets paid today, and for the next 30-odd years, it's amazing.
And there'll be bobbleheads handed out, I reckon, outside City Field today.
If anyone doesn't know the deal,
it's the back-ended, the ultimate back-ended job.
Absolutely. Bobby Bonilla was owed, I think, $5 million by the New York Mets, and they decided to defer that payment over the next 30-odd years. So today, and he hasn't played for the Mets since 2000, today he gets another $1.2 million in the skyrocket. So a great deal that was.
I want to know where his agent is because I need him.
he needs a statue, that bloke.
Just before we go into footy, and you're talking about money deals over in the States, have you seen some of the money that's been offered for some of our Aussie basketballers? Steph Curry,
mate.
$110 million over 5 years, or $120 million over 5 years. But let's talk about Joe Ingles looking at an $80 million contract over the next four years. Patty Mills, I think, just signed a $67 million contract for the next 4 years. This is great stuff
you know
for
what
Australian
it does?
Basketball.
It gives Australian basketball, and for all the kids who are growing up, a fantastic pathway.
Yeah.
And if they want a dream, like you and I once did, and well, you still do, but I basically have given it away. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, it certainly is. Some big money there, mate. Some big money.
Hey, Brett, that's you want to go and play basketball?
I'll play anything when I can get $1.2 million a year for doing nothing for the next 30 years.
I tell you what, mate, there's some blokes earning their dollars out on the footy field over the weekend and some great matches. Let's talk about the two last night because I think there's been no better in this round so far. Richmond were fantastic against Port Adelaide, but GWS and Geelong, let's kick off with them first up. What a great tussle that was.
An amazing effort from the Cats, really, wasn't it, guys? When you consider the outs that they had, Joel Selwood a late out with that concussion on top of the injuries and the change that they had midweek. And then Daniel Menzel, the latest of late outs before the game. So they had a couple of debutants come in. Young Scott Simpson came in and played his first game. And then you also had Wiley Buzzer coming in as well. So they had a very young team last night, Geelong. I think that when you look at it on the surface, I know that GWS are young as well with the list that they've got, but it's an ultra-talented list. But that was just an amazing effort from the Cats last night and led by Paddy Dangerfield. He didn't have his trusty sidekick alongside him, Joel Selwood, but 40-odd possessions. He was amazing, and he was the one who really drove the Cats early on. I think he had one kick and 14 handballs in the first quarter.
But, BA, you don't pay players big money unless they're going to do that. And Dangerfield came not only with a huge reputation, but a big contract, and he's delivering, isn't he?
He is. yeah, absolutely. It probably got unders compared to what he could have done in other clubs in terms of wanting to go to Geelong and wanting to play at home. He would have probably made a lot more if he had decided to just be open to any other club. But
yeah, he should have gone to the Mets.
What? Yeah, absolutely. He could have deferred a payment. But what he did last night was outstanding. And look, they were probably dead and buried at times, I thought, GWS last night. Geelong had all the running, and then they just started to get the game back. And it was on the back of Johnny Patton, who ended up with four goals, who was the main one up forward, who really looked like taking the game away from the Cats at times. And in the end, they couldn't get him back on the ground at a key time. He sat off the ground for, I think it was 6 or 7 minutes in the last quarter when they really needed him down there, when they were peppering the inside 50s up forward. And they just didn't have Patton there to take the mark and potentially kick a game-winning goal. But in the end, it was Tommy Hawkins with the shot after the siren. And unfortunately for Tom, there was a whistle round about the time he was kicking it, which I don't know whether it put him off or it didn't put him off, but he missed the shot, and it's a draw, first one of the year.
Did you actually feel at any point that he was going to kick the goal? My thoughts, as soon as he took the grab, was that this is going to be a point for sure. Anything different.
He'd been kicking the ball quite well. I actually thought that it was set up for him to kick it based on a bit of a fairy tale for the Cats with their young team in and all the injuries and just one of those season-defining wins. But even then, you miss and you get the draw. If you had a set time at the start of the day with the injuries that they had and the players out and the team that they were playing against, if you had said that we'll give you 2 points, I reckon they would have taken it.
Because he's done it before. I remember being at the London Olympics a few years ago with Andrew Gaze, who was a Hawthorn supporter, listening to SEN's call of the game between Geelong and Hawthorn, and Tommy Hawkins kicking that goal after the siren.
Yeah, you'd probably prefer him from that distance, that 50 metres out where he was against the Hawks that night. But, it was just a fantastic performance from Geelong. And I think supporters at Go Away being absolutely thrilled with what they saw from players who really stepped up last night, and then knowing what they've got to come back in. For GWS, though, it's a minor concern, I would have thought, last night. Yeah, they've got their own injuries as well, and they lost Jeremy Finlayson during the game, unfortunately, on debut with a knee injury. So that's a terrible way for his AFL career to start. But, it's just one of those ones with GWS at times. You think that you know that you've got them sorted out and that they're clear premiership favourites. And then there's little things like last night that you just sit there and they raise some doubts in your mind again as to whether they're just ready.
Well, it's a classic case of no one really putting their hand up to want to win the premiership this year. Everyone who seems to be in that favourites position does something to make you think, oh, gee whiz, I just don't know, which means that as we talk about the next game, Richmond and Port Adelaide, Richmond, and people will say, oh, you're a Richmond supporter, you're saying this because of that. Seriously, though, Richmond are as good a chance as anyone at the moment to win the premiership because no one's saying they want to do it. And the Tigers are looking as good as anyone.
Absolutely. When other supporters sit there and say, oh, you're only saying that because you're a Richmond supporter, well, they should know better than most that if you're a Richmond supporter or a Melbourne supporter, generally we're negative about our team and we're afraid of actually saying that stuff. So the fact that we are saying that about our own teams suggests there has to be something behind it, and it shows how even that it is, because generally we'd be petrified of saying anything or even thinking it. But the Tigers are certainly in the mix, and they're doing it because they're super resilient from defence to attack. Like the back half can get bombarded, but on top of Alex Rance, who's having obviously an outstanding season. First half last night, he was well beaten, but then he bounced back. But you've got Dylan Grimes and you've got David Asprey, who are playing their roles fantastically down there. And they're standing up under immense pressure. And then you go to the other end and you've got Jack Riewoldt playing with a bunch of midgets, basically, at the other end of the ground. And they're finding ways to orchestrate scores. They've just got an amazing inbuilt resilience that has developed, I guess, in a click over the last 12 months, and they're right into it, up to their eyeballs, Shebets. And as we saw last year, anything can happen. They were fantastic last night. After early on, I thought they could have been blown away by Port Adelaide.
Yeah, that's the way they've evolved. The arm wrestle was there for a long, long time. But Trent Cotchin, you touched on
he was great early on. Yeah,
I think he's maturing at a great clip, and he's adding those key moments of stability and direction, which I think made a difference last night.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it's been a couple of weeks, and it might have even been last week, the game. I thought he's been quiet. The game against Carlton, I thought that Paddy Cripps really took him to the cleaners around stoppage. But last night he was back to his absolute best, no doubt. And I think Alex Rance said post-game he feels he's the best captain in the competition. And I guess we say that from internally because it's the only captain that you've sort of dealt with. But I think the Richmond guys, from everything you hear and everyone you talk to down there, are really enjoying what Trent's bringing to the table in terms of his leadership this year. And I think he spoke about that at the start of the year as well, in terms of the things that he changed, the way that he sort of looked at himself and his leadership style. So he was amazing last night. Now, I guess it's a bit of, not vindication, but for that final a couple of years ago where I guess he wins the toss, kicks into the wind, or the so-called wind, and then it was downhill from there. But I thought last night he really stepped up when they really needed it, because, as I said, I thought Port Adelaide were on early in terms of their ball movement. But then going inside 50, there were some drop marks, some easy shots that they missed that suggested, well, hang on, maybe things aren't going to go to plan tonight for Port. So Richmond were fantastic, and they deserve to be in the conversation, absolutely.
It was the classic game of chess last night between Port Adelaide and Richmond, because Ken Hinckley made a fantastic move at the start to sort of double-team on Rance, and then made Rance and Hardwick sort of change that bit of a game in the second half, which went to Richmond's advantage. And then as things started to go Richmond's way, Hinckley then had to make some changes. He put Robbie Gray into the middle to try and make things happen, but it just didn't work for them. It was a really good thinking game of footy.
Yeah, it was. And I guess that's the challenge with Robbie Gray at the moment. I guess we've all seen him as that sort of mid-forward, but he's becoming more and more of the forward mid who needs to play more in the front half just due to his running capabilities. He struggles to cover the ground as much as what an AFL midfielder does these days. And he's so much more dangerous inside forward 50. And
yeah, he can finish, that's why.
I think ideally Port would love to keep him there as a permanent forward and then try and bolster that midfield rotation. But on times they do have to throw him in there. A bit like, I think, what we're seeing with Christian Petrarca at Melbourne. He's more of a forward than a mid at this stage, and he's certainly more dangerous across half forward. Although he does show when he goes into midfield, he's got that burst and power, and Robbie's sort of the same way. But it was a chess match between the two coaches, absolutely. And in the end, Damien Hardwick was the one who called checkmate.
He did, fortunately for us.
40,000 crowd last night at the Adelaide Oval. Was that good? 39?
A little bit down.
Yeah, I
would have thought they would have got a few more there last night based on two teams who are in the top sort of five or six in the ladder. So slightly disappointing. And Richmond supporters do travel. We saw that at the end of the game. There's plenty of them over there.
Yeah, right. But the last time they travelled to Adelaide, they got beat. So maybe they might have been gun-shy.
Yeah, maybe. they're a good travelling team, Richmond. I'll give them that, especially if they go over to Perth. Now, just quick comment on the rest of the games. Gold Coast, North Melbourne, 300 for Gaz. And the boys did him proud.
They did, and Jared Lyons was outstanding too. He's one of the ones who's really snuck under the radar from a point of view of players who moved clubs at the end of last year. 38 or 39 touches last night, 10 clearances. I think the Crows would really like him in their midfield.
Adelaide v Carlton. Carlton ground out this game. They sort of stayed in there. Adelaide couldn't get away from them, but it was Adelaide who prevailed in the end.
We say this every week, they're really hard to play against and they're hard to move the ball against. They're well structured, they're very well coached, and it doesn't seem to matter what personnel they have there. They had six or seven changes yesterday. They plug and play players who play the system really well, and whilst they didn't get the win, I think they'd be really happy with the performance they put out. For Adelaide, it's a win at the MCG, but it wasn't convincing, was it? So they're going to need to show us a little bit more before we start to trust them a little bit.
Are you happy as a Blues man, George, at the moment?
Most of what Brett said, I'm thoroughly chuffed about. I'm watching the development of youngsters coming along. I love our composure in some positions, and I love our format, our ability to stay within the ground and do the structure things as they should be done. That's very, very pleasing.
Yeah,
but I want to win.
Yeah, of course you do. But
and it'll come.
Yeah,
it'll come.
It will. Speaking of winning, Jewish West Coast over the Bulldogs. How do you take this Bulldogs team, Brett? Where are they at?
Maybe they're not happy behind the scenes, well, and they can't do it on the field.
Bit of that.
Gone.
Are they?
Won't make the finals?
I think they're in trouble.
Jeez, you're calling them a long way out.
I just think the way that they're playing their footy at the moment, I think we all hope that they can get back to what they showed last year. But they look like they've...
They look cooked.
I've heard a few people say that they look like they lack the hunger. In some ways, I think they do, but I think it's just that other teams have improved a little bit, and unfortunately for the Dogs, they probably haven't improved as much as everyone else. In a tight comp, it makes it really hard, and you can go back with that, or you can seemingly go backwards at a rate of knots when really you haven't. You're the same as what you were last year. So they just they're just really struggling at the moment. That's a game last year they would have won, and look, they did come from behind a little bit yesterday. They came from behind and looked like they could potentially get there. But I think West Coast had their measure for much of the afternoon, and it was their good players who did it again. Jack Garland, good to see him step up with three goals, and he had it was probably his best game, I would have thought, for the year.
Move on. City, of course, beating Melbourne earlier in the week as well on Friday night. We move on to today's games. Just a quick comment and your thoughts. Essendon-Brisbane, our SEN game at 1:10 at Etihad. Hawthorn-Collingwood at the MCG. And then we'll finish off the day, Fremantle and St Kilda at Domain.
Yeah, Essendon-Brisbane. I would think that the Bombers would win that one. But I expect Brisbane to be really competitive in that game. If the Bombers can play their fast, free-flowing footy, well, they could put on a real big score.
Can Hawthorn go back-to-back?
I think Collingwood will win. I just like Collingwood's list a little bit more than Hawthorn's at the moment. I still think that Hawthorn have got that performance in them every couple of weeks, and like last week was obviously outstanding. I just reckon that Collingwood, the last three games, they've been quite good against Hawthorn. Prior to that, they were horrible, but I think there was a close loss, then there was a one-point loss, and then obviously they beat them earlier in the year after giving up a big start. So I think Collingwood will win in a tight one.
Always great to have you on board, mate. Thanks for your timing in today, Brett.
No worries, boys. And I think the Saints might win over in Perth this afternoon too, boys.
In what should be a fairly dour game, I would have thought.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Good to be with you, lad.
Good day, boy. See ya. Brett Anderson joining us. SEN Inside Football.
See, I told you he was shy. He doesn't say too much.
No, he doesn't say.
But thank goodness he got us through that. And he, as one of the football insiders, it's great to hear what... You know, basically... we get through the Brett filter, you get a sense of how the football competition's going.
Well, we've filtered out one Brett, and we've got another one coming through the filter as we speak after the break. Brett Phillips, our SEN commentator, to talk Wimbledon.
Oh, it is that time of the year.
It is.